And Peter had followed him at a distance. Today we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. A sacrament is a visible sermon. This communion service is a symbol. It is a symbol with a horizontal reference point and a vertical reference point. The horizontal meaning of this sacrament is that it bears witness to the fact that we Christians belong to one another, that we are a part of the same body, that we are one with the other. As the commentary by Robert Shaw bears out, as I had it printed on the front of the bulletin in number 5, it says, it is an emblem of the saints' communion with each other. All true saints are members of one body, and in the Holy Supper they have communion, not merely with those who sit along with them at the same table, but with all that in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, their common Lord. This Communion Sunday happens also to be Worldwide Communion Sunday. So indeed, we who do name the name of Christ, who do belong to the church, invisible, unite, as it were, our hearts with Christians of all nations throughout the world in this moment as we celebrate our union together. That is its symbolic meaning with the horizontal reference. But communion also has a vertical meaning, and that vertical reference signifies that we are also one with the Lord Jesus Christ, that by virtue of His perfect righteousness and of His substitutionary death, we have been clothed in His snow-white goodness, and now we are one with His mystical body. Jesus was perfect for you. Hebrews 4 says that He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He took our place. He lived a life of perfect obedience for you. There He gained perfect righteousness, but it was not for Himself. It was because you and I could never gain and meet that standard of goodness and righteousness. But our Lord went one step further. He was also the substitutionary penal sacrifice for us. I mean that He died a death as a penalty for you as your substitute and mine. That is His work for us. He lived a life of perfect righteousness, and He died a death as a penal substitute. Everyone knows what a substitute is. On a football team, we send in one person to replace the other. And so Jesus, as it were, was sent in to replace you, and that He did upon Calvary's cross. You see, God's justice demands that sin must be punished. And that punishment is nothing short of infinite, eternal damnation. And that is what Jesus accomplished upon Calvary's cross for you. 1 Corinthians 15:3 clearly states not only the fact that Jesus died, but he also says why he died. Christ died for us. That is what we do this morning. We see here a symbol. This is a visible sermon. It is a symbol of our union with one another. And it is also a symbol of our union with Christ by virtue of his sacrifice for us. We have been made one with him. But a communion service is also a time when we Christians ought to rededicate ourselves to following Christ. Following the Lord Jesus, that is the heart of Christianity. That is the heart of obedience. To be like Christ and to follow the Lord Jesus. Several weeks ago, I began reading the Gospel of Mark with this thought in mind. What is here that will help me to follow Christ more closely? And as I went through, I would underline this and underline that, and Mark makes many, many statements that would be helpful to any believer to follow Christ more closely. But he also makes a statement and reveals something which tells us how not to follow Christ. And it's right here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 54. How not to follow Christ. And Peter had followed him at a distance. Friends, I think that that is one of the saddest phrases and verses in the entire Gospel of Mark. That Peter followed Christ at a distance. You all know the context for this particular scripture. Jesus had just been betrayed. He was being led away by the Jews, brought before the Sanhedrin, where he was beaten, where he was slapped, where he was accused and finally condemned. And here we have this verse, heart-rending. A man standing in the shadows, who only hours before said, Lord, though all else forsake you, I will never forsake you. And Peter followed him at a distance. He finally became so separated from his Lord that the end of his separation was that he denied Christ, but not only denied him, he denied him with swearing and with cursing. And when finally he came to himself, in verse 72, it says, and he began to weep. I would like to ask you this morning, as we come to this table, friends, can it be said of you that you are following Christ at a distance? That you are like Peter. You're following, You want to be a Christian. You want all the benefits of heaven. You want all the goodness there is in being associated with God's people. But you've got just enough to make you miserable and guilty and unhappy. Christian, are you following Jesus at a distance? Is it not time that you drew closer to God? Is it not time that you finally came back to your Father's house? Peter finally came to himself, and the scripture says, and he began to weep. The prodigal son came to himself, and he said, I will arise and go to my father. Christian, is it not time? Is it not time for you to come back to your father? Is it not time for you to forsake whatever sin, whatever habit, whatever attitude, whatever it is that causes you to follow Christ at a distance? Is it not time? Is it not time? Let us pray. Oh Lord, truly we do know it is time that we should draw even closer to yourself. Forgive us, Father, when we follow you at a distance. We do love you, Lord. But what is more important still, mystery of mysteries, we know that you love us. Just like the Father standing in the middle of the road, waiting to catch a glimpse of his returning Son, so you look for us and you welcome us. Here we are, Lord. Thank you for waiting. In Jesus' name, amen. Our communion hymn is hymn number 58, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.